started this morning. We have evangelist Steve Hopin. He's going to come up and say a few words. But I first wanted to thank everyone for coming out. We've been doing men's breakfast now for, probably 20-something years. I did it first with my grandpa and kind of took on the mantle maybe 10 years ago. And it's been a good blessing. I enjoy doing it with you guys. Hopefully the food isn't terrible. So let's give Steve Hopin a big round of applause as he comes up.
Not that's the issue, it's what you do during those times. he was left alone. And a man, and you'll notice this, I'll mention only once, those pronouns of the other person is capitalized for a reason. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he, of course, being Jacob, said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed, not letting go." I want to look just for a moment this morning, brothers, at this fact regarding not just Jacob, but all of us. And that is the issue of real life, of frailties and failures. We are looking this morning at the true story of a man who has some issues. He's not perfect. He's flawed. And there are some real issues in Jacob's life, all the way from his birth up until this time we're reading about together this morning. His own mother, just in Boston last week, forgive the accent, his own mother, she thought she would somehow scam the system and sets up this elaborate lie to get the birthright for him. He learned at a very early age the wrong way. You know, I can scheme, I can scam to get ahead. You can read that on your own in Genesis 27. But either way, there were seeds sown in Jacob's life that later on they were not helpful to him. He's convinced, as long as I can be a smooth operator, as long as I can work the system, that's how I'll get ahead. And here in our text, verse 35, if you read it, his brother's going for their father to get blessed. In 27:35, he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said to his father, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" You know, Jacob may have stolen the birthright. He may have done a lot of things. But you know what, my friend? You can't steal dominion. He didn't have dominion. This is something that sooner or later, what we are, not what we say, but what we are, one day will catch up to us. Talent, looks, all the things that keep so many in our world today going, it doesn't get us all the way across. Later in his life, and I mean, if it's not funny, it'd be hilarious. He's running from his brother's life. He ends up with this uncle named Laban. And he's there working. He sees a girl. This girl's a little bit sick. "Laban, I'd really kind of like to marry this Rachel." He goes, "No problem. You're going to work for me 7 years. And it tells us that the 7 years were like, went by so fast. I don't know how in heaven's name. But after the wedding, he wakes up with Leah, her sister. "What the heck? And now what he is, he's involved in. Uncle Laban, what the heck? Well, I didn't tell you about our customs. You're supposed to know that. You've got to marry all the firstborn first. Rachel's still available. Seven more years. Can you imagine? This girl must have been a looker. I don't know. 14 years. I was talking to a young man once just about the story. We're working on a message. He goes, man, 14 years to work for a girl. If you get married, you'll be doing it for the rest of your life. It's called marriage. I learned 43 years ago what's mine is hers and what's hers is hers. We're still doing it. See, there's certain things, barriers, certain things in a man's life we cannot just navigate through. We need to have God help us break through. And I love it so much about this story because this is not something exclusive to this man named Jacob. We've all said something, maybe done something we wish we didn't do. But we did. And either you will spend the rest of your life living in regret, going over, I wished I didn't have these frailties, I wished I didn't have these flaws, I wished I didn't, or you can do what we're going to do this morning before we leave this place, and that's hold on. Amen. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4:7. He says, but now we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Take courage, brothers. I'm over here, I'm watching, you know, and Gabe's doing a great job. We're like, you know, singing a chorus where you guys are salivating to eat. I didn't see, you know, any angelic wings. Some of you are trying to clap. You need some serious clap lessons. You're like, off. Didn't see any halos blowing out there this morning. But you know what? I didn't see any horns either. There's hope for us. And here as we look at this, and this is where we're at on this end of the month, confronting the issue. Correct me if I'm wrong, just wait until afterward. It'll be a little awkward right now. I believe the desire to want to succeed. I believe that inside desire to want to come back from failure, to want to come back from some discouragement, I believe it's a legitimate one.
Yes, exactly.
Excuse me. Made a mistake. Oh, join the club. That's why we're here. Well, you're here for the burrito. You know what I'm saying? Our pastors, they want to see our church here in Preston grow and flourish and see expansion, enlarging, all those things. No one normal wants to settle for failure. No one who's normal wants to settle to just be stagnant and just putting their spiritual manly life in neutral. Because neutral is just one step away from putting on the brake. You're still not going anywhere neutral. We see this man, Jacob, with all of his flaws, all of his failures, we see him wanting to change. We see him wanting to succeed. And if you know your Bible, you should. He's getting back to the place he should have been in the beginning. Now I know his brother's looking to kill him in his mind. But this is hopeful. Because he's getting back to the place he should have been. He's getting back to the first place. And right there, he's left alone. But he's wrestling with somebody all night long. And I believe this is a picture of the Word of God for you and me, of any man here this morning that really does want to see your life become what it was meant to be. Not what could have been, should have been, might be, but what's meant to be with God. Well, I feel it. Could be the sauce on the real one. It's my feet, your seat. This guy is an encouragement because he's not going to settle for less. And if you know it all, read it through, Jacob recognizes his failures. He recognizes his flaws. He knows he's upset people. He knows he's not only let God in his mind, in his family, he's let himself down. I didn't want things to go this way. But more importantly, he realizes there's some things in life, my brothers, that we will not get out of on our own merit. Not in the natural. It's in the supernatural. No amount of soulish abilities could take the place of what God can do in one prayer in just the next few minutes with us together. God fixes things. There was a time, or I guess before time, it was chaos, nothing. And God spoke, let there be light. And so it was. You know, your life right now may be chaos and darkness and regret and wished I did and wished I didn't. All God can speak into your life this morning, and it shall yet be. We need to be convinced God has more for you and me. And I am. I know life's not a sport, but if it was, I went out of bounds. I threw it out of bounds. Struck out. Was in the penalty box. Life's too short to stay there. And if your life spins out, or you're not achieving, you got a great career, you're making lots of debt, who cares? At the end of life, you need to know your life counted for something more. If it was about money, I'd be in the music business. All those famous people I met. And then Jesus changed my life. And sitting after December 13, 1982, at 937 Bruce Street, Pastor Mitchell preaching a sermon on the Nazarite vow, I knew I needed to get my life right. And I rededicated my life, and I began to hear, your life can make a difference. See, you probably think I was born a Cub Scout like this.
Yeah.
No, I was born a baby. And I made some decisions along life's highway, but I made one decision, not just once, but several times. God loves me. He loves you. See, the atmosphere this morning we're feeling in this men's breakfast, revival's an atmosphere. Because the very word that I have the privilege to represent our church, as many of our evangelists do, you know, the very word revival, it means to make alive again. This is what God wants to do with you this morning, brother. To make something alive again. Discouragement, setback, the lack of fruitfulness, hard times, all this COVID rubbish. Come on, we're out of quarantine. Get with it. Don't be little tick-tock, tick-tock. Are you kidding me? Get your own life. Why don't you and I this morning be influencers? for something valid, something real, something eternal. And that brings us this morning to our prayer. And that is your possibility and potential. There's no limit to any man who will be willing to press on. There are many things, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know and I don't understand, but this I know, it's always too early to quit. Always. Jacob does see a breakthrough in the spiritual arena. Says in our text this morning in verse 28, and he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man, and have prevailed. You know, if you're going to go through some things the way I know I have, I want to come out of it better. I want to be a better man through this. I want to learn. I want to see all that God has for my life. You know, if you look at my ID lies. There's a teenager trapped in here. We got some men here this morning, you know, they say, well, a little gray on the roof. Well, don't complain about one gray, brother. It's better than one flesh tone. That haircut lasts me a long time. But the very thing he needed, he wouldn't let go of it. Some of you guys, there's been disappointment, setback, up. You're letting go, you've already let go. Inside this flawed, frail, failure-prone man, there's a warrior. He let this say, oh, he does see me. He's laying hold. The day's breaking. Let me go. All night long. Now I was talking once, I think, to Evangelist Blanco. And, you know, in school, there's a lot of sports I like, but wrestling, I didn't get it. I lose my temper right away. They grabbed me, you know, they did over. But he's wrestling all night long. And it's reminding me of things we heard it. But in my life, how do you hold on to God all night long like that? Is it the right head look? Gotcha. No, it's showing us this morning, my brothers, that God wants us to lay hold of it. Because no one's going to lay hold of God all night long unless he allows them to. And our pastors cannot do this for you. There are some things in life you need to lay hold of. There are some things in life you need to say, God, I'm not letting go unless you bless me. And how amazing it is. Reality, and too many men I've watched over the last 7 or 8 months in evangelizing. Many times, men are not so much discouraged by what they've done. We get discouraged by what we become. And I'm here to let you know this morning, God wants you to not let go. You have wrestled with God and men. And you prevail. What's your name? Jacob. No longer will you be called Jacob, but Israel. And it isn't amazing when God spoke of himself and our patriarchs. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and this man, Jacob. We're not talking about failures and frailties and flaws being sin. If you're doing right, stop it. And you can be forgiven. But I'm talking about a man who knew, I need things to change, and I'm willing to hold on. I'm not letting go. You know, I met a guy last Thursday flying back from Boston. His name is Eric. It's on my phone. He was hiking, I think, about 6 or 7 years ago in Northwest. And he fell and he lodged himself between this 800-some-ton rock. He's pinned for like 120-some hours. Just one guy. He wants to go out that way. So what this guy did, he somehow worked it and broke it, and he severed his own arm. And I'm sitting by him on my free upgrade. He was doing some motivational speaking in the Boston area. He said, you know, there's a lot worse things in life than losing just your arm. He said, I knew my life was more than just dying between two boulders. Yeah, I lost an arm, but I really didn't lose that much. I gave it all. This angelic being, this pre-creation touched the socket of his hip, and it was out of joint, and Jacob, now Israel, he limped into the horizon. I wonder this morning, are there some things that you would let God cut off or cut out of your life that's trapping you from really becoming all that God wants you to be? Whether it's a disappointment, a failure, a setback, some of you young people thinking this world has more, you are wrong. The world today is even less valuable than it was when I considered myself your age. But thank God this morning, every single man who will not let go, God will bless you there. God will bless you here. And your life will never, ever, never. Can we take a moment and bow our heads just for a small time? Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Again, I'm so privileged for the invitation, the opportunity from Brother Anthony to be a pinch hitter. I am so privileged to be here with you men this morning in this men's breakfast. It would not do you all that much good long term to hear over and over again my story, things I've done, things I've been through. That is a testimony. What's most important is not what you've done. It's not how badly you've fallen or failed. It's not how deeply you think you've drifted. The only thing that matters today is what Jesus has already done. And this is what I love about the gospel. There's not one of us men better, not one of us worse. We all need to sin. And maybe you've come into this men's breakfast this morning knowing there's not any more, wanting things to change, wanting things to turn. And yet it seems like this cycle of two steps forward, three steps back. No, you can lay hold of this promise. Whosoever would call on his name would be saved, forgiven. Things in your life can change. There's a better tomorrow with your name on it. Before we pray together as men and let God's Spirit revive every one of us, maybe this morning as you're in this place, you know deep down you're not right with God. Maybe you allow some of the flaws, the failures in your own life hold you back, and you know this morning you're that prodigal. And today, not about joining our church. No one's going to hand you a microphone, ask you any embarrassing questions. But today, if you're not right, why not? God so made a way for you, sir. you can be forgiven. You can be free. And if that is you in this place this morning, in this men's breakfast, you want to be forgiven, you want that brand new start, rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. If that is you, right where you are, just as you are, would you lift up your hand just quickly, one time? Just lift up your hand and keep you in prayer. You want to get right with God, want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Slip up your hand in doing so that I can see that and we can pray together. God's moving, God's calling you. Don't let go of this promise. He's for you. Anyone, prodigal, backslider, you know. Want to get right. Thank God. Then this morning, in this men's breakfast, this last 7-8 months or so, traveling and speaking to men of all ages, doing youth rallies and doing revivals and men's discipleships and all these different things that we believe in our fellowship, over and over again, I see great men seemingly stuck in neutral in their mind, in their emotions, in their imagination. They've allowed some event, they've allowed some disappointment, a break in a relationship, the loss of a loved one. Life hurts sometimes, doesn't it? Our own personal failures. But you see, this morning, God wants you to not let go. No one's asking you to cut off your arm. But what an amazing testimony this guy here told me. He goes, yeah, I lost an arm, but I really didn't lose that much. Jacob left that encounter with a limp, but it was worth it. This morning, whether it's regret, guilt, shame, unrealized dreams or expectations, could I tell you, please, our God is not a man that he would lie. He keeps his promises. He's good for his word. And it may seem like you've been wrestling your whole life or whatever, but you're not going to let go. And if you have begun to let go, you're going to do it. Edwin Booth did what was right. Reached out and saved the life of his own brother, took a life. This morning in this place, I believe your life, your future, your destiny is worth reaching out to lay hold of. If in fact, perhaps, God is speaking to you personally, whether from an early age, neglect, regret, no matter what those things, life is not even about how we start, it's how we finish. And I can look every one of you in the eye later on. In my life, one day, in a week, I want to finish well. I don't want to finish what could have been. God has sense for you, and this morning you sense God's Spirit speaking to you about not letting go. I want you to stand right where you are, and we're going to pray. And I hope we would then want you to stand right in your seat. If God is speaking to you, you're going to believe God still for some of these promises. Believe God once again to not let go of that unsaved family member, your friend, that breakthrough personally in your heart, in your life. If you're saying this morning, by standing in your seat, you know what? But I'm not going to let go. Our pastors cannot do this for you. You have to make the decision. I'm going to be the best me that I can be. And when you and I decide we're going to be the best us, then the definition of what other people try to put on us, it's not as painful. Because young men in real life, right here, real life. There are lots of things that we can still hope for. But I say this morning to you, the very best in your life can still be what is to come. Good things in life don't happen by accident. They happen on purpose. Please, don't let your flaws, don't let your failures hold you back from what God can do in His intended future for your life. Oh, I sense the presence of God. He's here. There's no greater gathering of men, in my personal opinion, that's all it is, an opinion, our home church here. The enemy assaults the men in our congregation like no other congregation out there. That's just one of the facts about being the mother church. As you and I face life, as you and I go through times and seasons, what we have at the end of the day is the promises of God. And God brought you, brother, you and your wife and your family here to Prescott for a time and a season such as this, that we would truly know He is the same God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what that means is that same God that's helped you in your life yesterday, He's going to help you through the todays. And He shall be found, my brother, to be faithful for all the tomorrows that you will ever face. Because our God is who He claims to be, ever faithful. Praise the Lord Jesus. God's so gracious to us. He's so gracious to us. You know, sometimes there's a lot of question marks going on the inside of our brother. And I know sometimes, not fair! There have been some very real bad calls in your life. But God wants you to know your will and His will, they will have a collision. And God does not want you to spend another day sitting in the penalty box of life. He wants you to come back to the game and realize that yes, people disappoint. Yes, there are things in life you and I cannot easily explain. I can't explain why God would leave a perfect heaven and be born a human and come down to this rubbish heap to die for somebody like me. I don't understand that, but I believe it. And this morning, it's not the things that we don't understand that set us free. It's the things that we do understand. And whomever the Lord sets free is free indeed. God's plan for you, young men, is so much more than that pain, that disappointment, and all that regret. Just like this volcano building up and going to blow. No, give it over to God. And He will cause a great blessing to come. Those times of sorrow, God's going to turn those around to great joy. You'll see it. You'll see it to be so because He's faithful. I may love the Lord this morning. And ask God to do what He does best, and that is to simply to be God. Mama, Cristo, Cristo. If anyone is in Christ, he's a brand new person. Brother, the old things, they pass away, and all things become new. Look at me. Give God some time. He's going to work it through. He is going to work it out. And you will see that all things work together for good. You've been going through a season, what the hell good could come out of this? You'll see a closer relationship with God and God's faithfulness in your devotion. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. He's so good. It's only there if you allow it to be. And sometimes in life, the thing inside is not naughty, it's not wrong, but sometimes, even recently, God, why can't I be part of a normal family? Whatever that is. My young friend, God will never let you be disappointed. Life is not going to pass you by. You are not going to live in the land of regret. And every difficult decision you are facing and feeling right now, it is going to be worth it all. Because God knows what He's doing, how He's doing it, who He's doing it through. And God brought your family to us here at Preston to be a great blessing. Don't let other people pressure you into becoming or thinking or saying something you know deep inside that is not who you are. Give me some numbers. Let's give God some praise this morning. Father, we thank you so much. Father, we thank you so much, Father. So as we pray this morning again, if I had a hat on, I'd say hats off to Brother Anthony. What a privilege to be here this morning. Always be ready to give an account for the hope that's within you. I'm telling you, I have hope. I have lived. I have lived this message. God allows comebacks. No place in life to be a has-been. Could have been, would have been. We're going to be, yet shall be. Aren't we, guys? I want you to put your hands right on your heart this morning. Right here, all the issues of life come. I want you to say, my Father in heaven,
Father in heaven,
I do thank you,
that you absolutely,
you know not only all about me, but every series of steps my life is taken, even until this morning. I take dominion over all regret. I break the lie of all guilt and shame. I know inside, perhaps I'm not all that I could be, all that I should be, but this I know, I am certainly not what I used to be. I cast down every lie of the enemy. I am not rejected, but I am beloved of you, my Father, and these, my brethren. Father, help my life from this point forward to not only be different, but to make a difference. I lay hold of all your promises for my life, every addiction, mindset, attitude. It is broken, healing in my body. Peace restored into my mind. Thank you, Father, for setting me free. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Let's give God praise as our brother Anthony comes. God bless you, God.
Of taking on all the hurt and pain of your life that you could go free. And I willingly accept this on the cross. If you would simply cast your cares and your burdens upon me, I would make a way where there seems to be no way. I would turn on light where there seems to only be darkness. My hands that were pierced and broken for you are able to fix the circumstances of your life. But you must put them in my hands, and you must trust me, says God. Give him praise.
Hallelujah. What a great morning. Good way to start the weekend. We have outreach here at 10:30 if you guys want to stay for that. I'd appreciate it if you could pick up our trash, help us with tables and chairs. Well, let's give Evangelist Bowman a real big round of applause. And if this is your first time hearing, you guys, we've got service tomorrow morning at 10:30. Tomorrow night at 6:30, you're welcome to any of those. But we want to thank everyone for coming out. And David Sanchez, we can close this in prayer. Thank you, guys.